Our scripture for today comes from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. Even though we speak in this way, beloved, we are confident of better things in your case, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love that you showed for his sake in serving the saints, as you still do. And we want each one of you to show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope to the very end, so that you may not become sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. I invite you to pray with me and for me this morning. Let us enter into a moment of prayer. Let us pray. God, your love is vast. It's amazing. It stretches as far as the east is from the west and beyond. We gather today, Lord, to join our hearts to reflect upon you, on your great love, your great desire for us, and all that you hope to have in store for us. And so as we gather, Lord, we ask that you fill us with your spirit and your transformative love. Help us to see with your eyes and to respond with your heart in all things. Settle our wondering hearts today. We've reflected, Lord, in the past on how our hearts and our minds tend to wonder. So settle our wondering hearts. Help us to come to know you more. And in our encounter with you and with Jesus, Lord, help us to live more faithfully into the likeness of Christ Jesus in the world. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, in the name of our Savior. Amen. Well, we have been talking about love a lot. We're making a turn today, and we're going to talk about some of the inheritances we have through God's love, God's promises, but it's going to be still grounded in love. So I was thinking about all this love talk, and it reminded me of one of my seminary professors. I've mentioned to you before, I think, that I had Archbishop Desmond Tutu as a professor in seminary, and among many things, Tutu was a great preacher. You see him here preaching. There was not a greater blessing than to go to chapel on a Tuesday or a Thursday, and this man would be preaching. Like, you did not want to miss it. Like, incredible figure of healing and grace in our world, but he was a great preacher. But one of the things he would tell us as students is that he only had one sermon. And as I listened to him, that was true. And he said, "My sermon is God loves you." That's a basic essence, and it should be the essence of any servant. And then he says, and the other part is that God calls you to be a part of that love in the world. So our sermons, we've been talking about love a lot, but I feel like there should be love in every sermon. I hope in every sermon spoken here in this place, it speaks to God's love in some capacity. So we're going to reflect on that today as we think about God's promises. We'll reflect on it a little bit in light of some of the changes that have happened in the Methodist Church. I'll invite you to come back and be with us this evening as we debrief that in a greater length and detail, though. So I was thinking about love and reflecting on this the other day, and I was thinking, I've been preaching about love for a while, and something came to my mind from our lives a few weeks ago, my husband and I wanted to share that with you. We were gone for a couple days, and we boarded our new, kind of newish dog, Kiva, and I was here working late into the evening, and my husband had picked her up from boarding from the kennel, and I get this video on my phone. So I want to share this video that I got from my husband.
"Hello, Mommy. How are you? Oh, good to see you, Mommy. Can't wait to see you at home. I don't know if that's a good
idea." That's Obi the cat.
"Oh, yes, it's a lovely. I'm so excited about being with my mommy. Oh, look at me. I'm so cute. And I'm excited about it. Don't get up there. But oh no, I'm feeling indifferent about the whole thing. No, it's good to be at home with you. No, I'm not really sure about that now. Oh, but we can't wait. Oh, oh, yes. Oh. All right. I'm going to sit down here in a minute and wait for you right here."
So we have a
a little bit of fun in my house. Yeah, you can applaud. She's really cute, isn't she? They're both cute. The husband, the cat, the dog, they're all cute. And so she was looking at him, you know, and someone said, some very wise dog owner said as they left the first service, they said, is the dog treats in that cabinet that she was having around? I'm like, yeah, you're right. The dog treats were right there too. So she was home. Her dad was talking to her in a sweet voice. She was excited about seeing everyone. And that video came to my mind as I was thinking about love, you know, this deep into our love series. And, you know, she just seems to love us so much. She does. She came to us by way, she was surrendered to a kennel, a rescue in West Virginia. And then she went through a series of being traded off, as rescue animals often are, until she ended up in Fairfax about mid-December, when she entered our hearts and became a part of our lives. And I didn't realize when I was preparing to move here last year, in a span of about 6 months, our two dogs both passed away. And I didn't realize until we brought Kiva in, until we adopted her, that I had this giant space in my heart, this hole that her love just kind of fills up, right? If you're a pet owner, you know what I'm talking about. And her love, it literally follows us around the house. I don't think that there's anything that I could really do that would upset her or make her not like me. She's just got that. I don't know, it's because of her journey and what she's been through, but she's that loving and that wonderful. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, God is so amazing, and how God gives us so many ways to be loved in our lives. You know, from the very creation itself, to our relationships, to an extension of God's love for us. And that's spoke about in so many places in Scripture. We've gone through some of that in the past few weeks, but I was thinking about the love that just chases after us, and I was reflecting on the 23rd Psalm about how God's provision is always there for us. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about this morning. I was thinking about that psalm and the way it ends. Surely goodness and mercy, you know this, right? Surely, say it with me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? That's how it ends. Goodness and mercy pursues us through our relationship with God. God's unconditional love for us. We experience that as God's gift to us in pureness and in the best kind of faithful way, no matter what. We're going to talk about that today. Now, I'm going to push pause right here for a moment. So we've been talking about love a lot, and a very wise person last week stopped me and said, as we talk about love, there's something else that we need to hold up. And I want to just take a pause moment here to say this, is as we talk about love and we look at scriptures about love, love never harms, okay? Love never is abusive. And so when you read this and you hear me talk about love, I want you to know that sometimes love requires healthy boundaries. And sometimes love calls you out to rescue you. And if you're in a situation like that where you are not experiencing love, or where you're being harmed or being abused, God wants to call you out from that. So I just wanted to pause and say that, because sometimes these love scriptures are misused, and they have been misused over time. So can you hear me on that this morning? Love doesn't cause harm. Thank you. Thank you. The unconditional love of God is something that does offer us mercy and goodness, and we are called to be a part of that. It's the love that is with us all of our days. It's the love that calls us into existence. It is the love that eventually welcomes us home. God's love is faithful. God's love is faithful. God's love is faithful when others fail us. God's love is faithful when others fail us. God's love is faithful when we are not lovable. Or we think that we're unlovable, right? We're always lovable, but sometimes we think we're unlovable. God loves us, and God's love is faithful. God's love is faithful when we don't feel loving toward God. And if you've had some hard spots in life, those moments will happen where you're crying, Lord, where are you? And I'm mad at you, and I don't feel very loving toward you today. God's love
is still faithful in those moments. God's love is faithful even when we're not faithful. It pursues us with mercy and grace and goodness. God's love is at work even when we think it's not there. When it feels like there's a big distance between us and God and we don't feel immersed in this love that we've been talking about, it is still faithful and with us. And I know that can be hard to understand if you've been in hard places, if you've gone through just stuff, whether it's hurt or illness or difficulties or woundedness. It's hard sometimes to imagine that you are loved by God through that, or to feel or to know that God's love is with you in the midst of the valley and in the midst of your darkest night, but God's love is there. What I've come to know about my own life and those hard spots of being wounded or being in the dark, sometimes you don't feel it in the moment, but it's there and it leads you out. And in time and with healing, you can look back and see those fingerprints of where goodness and mercy did pursue you, where God was there all along. As we've been reflecting on this meaning of life in our series, as we talked about love, it's really important to understand that with God's love comes faithfulness. Love and faithfulness are partners in the nature that we know is God. So we established a few weeks ago, and Scripture establishes clearly from beginning to end that God is love. But God's love comes with faithfulness. It's a partner to the very nature of God. This is goodness and mercy in action from the heart of God to us. And that heart calls us to the same heart, to be about the same work. John Wesley would put it this way. It's been summarized as a saying of Wesley. Can you read this with me? Let's read this together. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the time you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Wow, it's powerful when you say it, right? You being a part of goodness and mercy unleashed in the world. Our text, which was so well read for us today in Hebrews, may have seemed a little confusing. Someone in the first service said, that scripture started off a little bit confusing. If you read just before it, and it's kind of like last week when we were looking at Paul in 1 Corinthians, if you were with us last week, this is a text where the writer of Hebrews comes in behind talking to a bunch of Christians who have been misbehaving. They've not been loving. They've not been about goodness. And here, kind of opposite, the writer is encouraging those that have been steadfast, those that have loved, those that have lived into the way of Christ. So he comes in behind and he speaks to the faithful. He's spoken to the unfaithful, those that have broken covenant with God, those that have not been loving. And he speaks about how God wants them to continue on, to not get sluggish in doing good, to be patient because God's inheritance and God's promises are true. Let's look at just a part of that. I won't read it all to you, but I'll let you look at it. Showing diligence and having the assurance of hope that God's with you, to not grow sluggish in this doing love stuff, but to be patient because God will keep God's promises. So the author of Hebrews is coming in behind some rebuke, as saying a bunch of you have not been faithful, but those of you that have been loving on the saints and doing the work of God, then I want to tell you that God is faithful for you. And I want you to stay the course. I want to encourage you. I want to call you forth to do more of the same or to look back. He goes from this place in the writing. He starts to talking about all the faithful people in Scripture. He goes back to Abraham and talks about Abraham's faithfulness. Be encouraged that you would inherit these promises. When I think about how things have changed this week in our denomination, I think about God's faithfulness at work over time, of how one of the primary changes has affected a group of people, and that's the LGBTQ people. And as Floris a long time ago said it was going to be, and it is, one church for all people, and I'm so proud that we are, I'm proud this morning that we're a denomination now that is embracing that. And thank you.
And I want us to think about that over time. Now, I know you may not agree with me this morning as I stand up here. I know that even at Florist, we're not fully in agreement. But I want to say that knowing that as we might disagree, we do that in love. And we join together in God's loving action in the world where no one is excluded, where everyone has equal value. And so I think this morning, I think about the work and the actions of people who were patient and who labored in love and worked for justice and equality and inclusion, who have been in a space faithfully visioning that our church would change and that mercy and goodness as a whole would be about in the Methodist Church, that the love of God would be extended. Love without limits. I think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal when a church moves back from doing harm and leans into love, because that's who we're called to be on all fronts. Now, we're not perfect. None of us are. We are not perfected yet. There's still work to be done. There's still harm that has happened that has wounded people and will still most likely wound people into the future. But our hearts are called to stretch in faithfulness to love as the church bends with God's love, to include all, to have a just way for all. Part of our vows from our hymnal when we become members or when we confirm people or when we baptize, we are to be a people that embraces justice and resists oppression in whatever forms it presents itself. That's why I was thinking about this in the light of love this week. I was reminded of the words of Dr. King. They're often quoted, but I think they're germane today. Let's look at those. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. And for some, that arc is really long because there's a lot of isms that still exist in church and in culture. And I can't imagine what it's like for some to weather that arc. But just like faithfulness is a partner to love, justice is a partner to love as well in the nature of God. God is working toward justice for all people. God is faithful and just and honors all and calls us and leads us in the ways of goodness and mercy and encourages us not to grow sluggish. That was our scripture. You may not like those words, like, I'm not sluggish. But the author of Hebrews is calling the people who are doing the right thing to say, don't lack in doing good right now. Lean forward. The church has been through a lot. It really has. I mentioned 1972, and somebody asked me, it's probably been longer than that. There have been injustices in the church, but we named some of those that stretch back for 40 years. And it's been hard, and it's been divisive, and there's been a lot of pain. And then as we paralleled some of this from 2019 forward, we moved right into the pandemic that did a lot of damage, frankly, to the church as well. People have prioritized other things since the pandemic. We've come through a lot. But yet, God has been faithful. Today, I want to argue that this inheritance from God is at work in and through God's goodness. And in through changes we see in the church, in and through God's pursuit of us, God never slumbers. God never lags in doing good. Sometimes the arc is long and we have to wait, and the scripture today calls for patience, but God is faithful. Sometimes I think we just zone out to that. We hear things in church, like from Cynthia this morning. We heard that 180 children are fed every weekend through this church. Had that left your mind already? Because it might have. We just, I know it's something. I see some of you, 180 children because of your goodness, because of your generosity that you've known in your hearts, that is happening through us, church. But sometimes we just zone out and we go, oh, that's a good thing. And then we go to the next thought. God is calling us, I think, today, as the church has a sense of newness to it, as we've been divided and hurt and wounded by a lot of things, is to look and to realize that God's love continues to birth vitality and new life. That's what the author of Hebrews is trying to say to the early church. It's like, there have been some that have gone astray and they've done some harm, but I want to encourage you to do good, to lift up your heads, and don't be sluggish, don't lag, but to lean in and continue to be faithful. I keep a little giraffe on my desk in the office down the hall. Alexis came by this morning and took a picture of it. It's cute, right? I keep it there, and I put my Encounter Jesus thing there, too, to remind me of a couple things. There was a DS, she's long passed, her name was Myrtle Hatcher. And she told me, she said, Gina, I keep a giraffe on my desk in my pastor's office to remind me that every now and then I need to raise my head. And I need to look around to see what God is doing in the church and in the world. She said, we pastors too often get pulled down in the divisions and the despair and the hurt and the tensions and all that's going on, and we miss out. We miss out on what God is doing. And I do that too, even with that giraffe sitting there, folks. I do that too. A few weeks ago, we were getting ready to have our church council meeting. Some of you have been a part of the church council over the years. It meets once a month. And from the executive director's office, Alan over here sitting in Midway, he puts together reports from our staff and from our ministry. And it's a big, long report to kind of say all the church is doing over time, right? In a month's span of time, usually. And I get those things every month. And I read them. I think, oh, that's great. Kind of like we heard 180 kids are fed and you move to the next thought. But last month, I sat with that giraffe in front of me and my salad in front of me at lunch. I just read that report. And it was like God was saying to me, look, Gina, raise your head. Look at what I am doing in the midst of Florist Restoration. There is so much good at work. And I tell you, I was so inspired. I shared with the council. I'm like, this report is so great. It looked like it does every month. But God spoke to my heart and said, open your eyes, raise your head. And I think we all need to do this at this time, to think about how God is saying, church people, people of Christ, raise your heads and look around. Look at where the good is and go and join that. I hope that some of you will go downstairs at 12:15 today to help with HHK. Alexis went through in the back. She went through and she pulled some slides just from a little span of time in our church, things that we talked about that are just beautiful. And this is just a snippet. I want us to roll that slide deck. And she titled this Florist Restoration, a Vital Church. But let's take a look at something. I hope confirmation just really knocked your socks off. It did mine. But we pass by that and go, oh, that was a wonderful moment, and we move on. Our children's ministries are alive, and there's joy, and it's flourishing, and they're going to lead us in worship next Sunday, church. They're here serving most Sundays, helping lead the church. Keep going. We're birthing a new worship service, our Sunday night service. A lot of people showed up. You can see the picture for that first service. We got another one this month. There's new stuff happening. Yesterday, Grace Ministries at work, serving our community. You heard about HHK this morning. That stuff goes on by the month, by the week. We've had conferences that have drawn, and look at all those women at the Claimants Conference and all those people at our recent Story Church, visitors coming in, our preschool is always downstairs teaching kids the way of Christ. A lot of them are going to be here next Sunday, by the way. Hint, preschoolers are going to come to be a part of service next week. Our music is so good, we're taking it off site to reach people and share the goodness, and that happens every month. Our South Asian and Latino ministries are flourishing in our midst, offering the goodness. We have a reception where Latino Ministries is hosting for Cinco de Mayo today that we want you to stay for. Family ministries. And we just go on and on. This is not inclusive. I think there's a couple more slides here. Oh, Easter. Easter was pretty incredible, right? We reached more than 400 people in a Lenten study. We did over 800 Easter baskets. We had thousands of people here for worship through you all. It's incredible. Access Ministries keeps adding numbers as we become a church for all people. Every time they gather, there are more in number. And just so much big service. People came and actually cleaned up trash because they love Jesus in this place. Mission trips to Cuba and Honduras just in recent weeks, and more planned for the upcoming summer. So much, church. That's just a snapshot, some of what was in those pages and pages of report of where God's goodness and mercy are fueling you, are fueling us together toward a beautiful thing, a goodness of Christ welcome, a goodness where there is no boundary. So today, in a few minutes, Barbara is going to invite you forward for communion. And as you come forward today, I want you to look at the cross. Maybe you always do as you come forward. I want you to raise your head like a giraffe as you're opening your hands and your heart. I want you to look at that cross. It stands as a symbol of God's love, right? But it also stands as a symbol of transformation, of how something really horrible turned into the amazing gift that we have in God's love known to us in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we as a church, we're called toward transformation. That work of mercy and goodness pursuing us, that work that we should never grow sluggish of. No matter what happens in the church, we are a part of a church that is vital and is good. And that's something to celebrate. So I want you to think about your place in it today. As you come forward and you look at that cross, how are your commitments called to go deeper? How are your actions being called to be more loving and kind and good? Thanks be to God. Amen.